Are you from England?
No, Germany.
Germany, a very nice accent.
I was living in New York for 2.5 years where I'm right from.
Yeah, he's a great saint.
So I was living
really
in
saintly person.
Right now.
New York saint. I guess he's from New York, I suppose. So real, you know. No ego. Total transparent. Sadhu. He's the sidekick of Ajahn Baba. They're like a pair, you know, like Lalita Vishakha. He loved Ajahn. Ajahn loved him like anything. Beautiful. He's the Amsh of Ajahn. Carrying on. Same. Yeah, so it's nice to hear about his name. What a name. We're speaking about Lalita Sekhi, now Ramana, Rai Ramana. Satsrup Das Goswami's Kripa Patra. Disciple. Go ahead.
So my question is, and it happened to me many times that, you know, I never heard something about it, but what about like spiritual dreams?
Yes.
So, to what extent can you take it seriously? Because like sometimes I wake up and I'm just like, oh, that was a really intense dream, but to what extent can I take it serious? Like, it's not a, you know, fabrication of my mind, but it's actually real, you know?
Yeah, dreams, you can search fully on Prabhupada has many comments about dreams. We asked our teacher about dreams, and dreams are discussed in Vedanta Sutra, and Baladevi Dibhushan, he gives a commentary on Vedanta Sutra called Govinda Bhasya, which is in English. Some people have it on their editions of folio, because it's by Bhano Swami translation. Or you can buy it. And you can look up dreams there. And it does mention there that it says dreams of Krishna are reality. They're real. When I directly asked my teacher about this, and that's how I came to know. He said, yes, in Vedanta Sutra, part 4, and there's like part 4, then chapter, then section, and verse, it's quite many breaks. But part 4, it describes how dreams are real, especially, and then Gurudev, my teacher, said that one dreams of what Guru or Krishna is very rare and it's very special. Exactly what to make of it or what it means, that may not be so clear or so applicable. In a Vedanta Sutra, when it's describing, it says, Swapna Satyam. It said, Swapna, dreams are satyam, truth. They're truth. Because sometimes in dreams, and gave examples, one receives a mantra in dreams. Sometimes one sees the object of their sankalpa. Sankalpa means some sadhaka or some yogi or practitioner or meditator or vairagi. He takes a vow that I will chant so many mantras. I'm worshipping this Ishtadev. And I will chant so many mantras. And for the purpose of chanting these mantras is to attain mantra siddhi. And I'll have the darshan of this Ishtadev. So what it cites in the Vedanta Sutra, that sometimes one may see Kamakya Devi. Kamakya Devi is a form of Durga. And there's a big famous temple of her, I believe, in Nepal, Kamakya. And she fulfills kam, or desires. So many yogis or tantrics or whatever, there's some mantra to worship her, and they chant that mantra to attain the fulfillment of, they want a particular power, or they want to attain someone or whatever. And so they may... Sometimes people worship Kamakya to attain, to attain a beautiful woman. Like they have a phrase in America, the woman of my dreams. That perfect woman or perfect match or whatever. So someone may want that, to marry a very beautiful woman. So apparently in the Vedas and ancient Puranas, there's some type of mantras and rituals and pujas to do, which includes the worshipping of this powerful Devi form of Kamakya. So in the Vedanta Sutra says, sometimes that sadhaka will see the fulfillment of his sankalpa in a dream when he gets close to the perfection of his mantra. So he's going to chant for 50 or 60,000 times a mantra, like 18 hours a day for 6 months. And many other rules and regulations you have to follow. Don't see the sunshine. Stay in dark all day. Eat once a day. Many things for Mantra City. And then a few days before, that will actually, if it will be fulfilled in the dream, you will see the woman of your dreams. You'll see. You'll be shown. So that dream is satyam. That's true. Because then a few days later, some beautiful woman shows up with your kutya or whatever. Or whatever, and says, I know that you want to marry or whatever. I don't know. Doesn't explain all that. So one may see the fulfillment of their sankalpa in the dream. It says this. One may receive a mantra in a dream. One may receive a formula of a medicine in a dream. Or see Bhagavan or Guru. So all these things are true. And so dreams are true. But many dreams are totally crazy, so they may not all be true. Like I asked him, he said, sometimes, that's what he said, sometimes dreams are true. And to what extent, then we have to discuss. But this is, it's mentioned, so it's where he can answer that question by, as I said, quoting a Shastra about that, dreams. And I have some notes here too. Sometimes, I ask my teacher, are dreams true, as you're asking? Sometimes, and the Vedanta says, Sandesh Drishti Swapneme Krishna Satyam. Sandesh Drishti Swapneme Krishna Satyam. If you see Krishna or Guru, it's very rare. And you may receive some instructions from Krishna Guru in a dream, then it's true. Sandesh means instructions. Sandesh Drishti Swapname. Sounds like Hindi. Swapname, in a dream. Drishti means you see. Or you see some instructions. Then it's Krishna Satyam. He said it's Satyam. I have another entry too, but I think I asked my Shiksha Guru about this also.
If there is an instruction in the dream, it's true.
Could be. Should be confirmed. You get instruction. You should go kill this person. Like that's, you don't, it's not that you have to, everything has to be checked and balanced. He's probably, my teacher says sometimes. So when, how do you know when it's sometimes an illusion, sometimes true? Then you have to confirm with senior devotees and the guru itself. I was just, this is the glories of, this is from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's the glories of Raghunath Das Goswami. It says, Chari Danda Ratri Dine Swapne Deke Radha Krishna. That Raghunath Das Goswami slept 1.5 hours. Chari Danda. Chari Danda means 4 dandas. Each danda is 24 minutes. 4 times 24 is about 90. 90 minutes means 1.5 hours. While resting, Raghunath Das slept 1.5 hours. While resting, he was always absorbed in Radha Krishna pastimes. Chari, Danda, Ratri, Dine. And at the night, day means the day, night. Swapne, Deke, Radha Krishna. So Das Goswami, in a day, at night, he would sleep only 1.5 hours. And Swapne, in his dreams, he would see Radha and Krishna. So that type of dream is certainly true. So basically, I would say whatever we experience in dreams, we should not take it very seriously. I'll give an example. When I was preaching, sometimes I would stop in Delhi on my way to Navadvipa Puri, and I would, of course, preach there. And some Indian people were following me there. And one person, after I returned from my yatra to Navadvipa and Puri, where I went for about 2.5 months, stopped again in Delhi for a day or so, then came back to Vrindavan. And I met one of those persons. "Oh, Maharaj, I missed you so much. I really miss your teachings. But I had many dreams of you." I said, "Really? What were those dreams?" "Well, I dreamt that it was a very real dream I had. I just felt like you were right there. I could just reach out and touch you." I said, "Okay, very nice." I said, "I don't know. I mean, I didn't know that dream." So then he said, "It was a one-way dream. It wasn't collective." So then he said, "So you gave me many instructions in a dream. So I'm trying to follow those." I said, "What are those instructions?" He said, "I was asking you, I came and I said, I have difficulty with the four regular principles. You know, I'm Punjabi, and we like to eat onions and garlic, and I'm a man, so we like to drink a little bit. And so you told me," he said, "it's okay, you know, you can eat onions and garlic, you can drink. And so I'm trying to follow your instructions. I feel so inspired." I said, "Whoever that's some Pondraka. Pondraka is in Dwarka Lila. Pondraka Vishnu. It's in Dwarka Lila, if you know a Krishna book. That's in Bhagavatam. And so he challenged Krishna. He said, 'You're not Bhagavan, I'm Bhagavan.' And he stuck on 2 cardboard arms. So he came out on the battlefield with 4 arms. He says, 'I have 4 arms now with my chakra, and my chakra and my club, I will send you to hell for imitating Bhagavan.'" And Krishna was laughing, "Ha ha, what a joke." So this Pondraka, so I told the person, I said, "That's Pondraka Swamiji. Because that's a false, that's a mitya. Satyam and mitya. Jagan mitya. Brahman satyam." So this Jagan mitya, this material world is false, but it's true, but it's temporary. That's what we say. But the Mayavadis say Jagan mitya, Brahman satyam. Mitya means false, unreal. And satya means true, eternal. So I said, "So you receive instructions in a dream. So what do you think?" "Oh, it's very powerful. I'm trying to follow." I said, "Just forget the swapna shiksha. Just completely forget it. Because if a teacher appears in a dream and tells you to break the 4 regular principles, then that's bogus. That dream is a fabrication of it's a projection of your desire or your individual want. You shouldn't follow that." He said, I'm right here, a sakshat teacher right in front of you directly. So I tell you directly, stop eating onions and garlic and stop drinking and follow the 4 regular principles and stop having such nonsense dreams. And if you have any further dreams like that, just forget them. Study Bhagavad Gita and associate with devotees." So dreams are a Pandora's box. It's like, you know, the kids have these, that's another thing, Pandora's box. But the kids have these little toys. There's like a snake, you know? It's in a spring covered with cloth. It looks like a snake. And you compress the spring, you put it in a box, you put the door down, latch it, and you go, and you turn a crank, and then you open a little latch, then boing, the snake jumps out. So the box, the Pandora's box, is our mind. And the snakes jumping out of the Pandora's box of our mind are all our dreams. So one dream may look like Guru or Krishna. Because I've been in the Vrindavan a long time, met many devotees from different countries. And they would say, "Oh, Maharaj, last night I had a dream of Krishna. He was so nice. And we were walking." I said, "That's very nice." I said, "You're so advanced. I don't have so many dreams like this, you know." So I know people every other night they're having a dream of Krishna. So it's very nice. But what is the net result? Judge a thing by its results. See, a person's having dreams about Krishna, but still they're on their second marriage, and you know, there's so many dreams of Krishna, but they're still totally attached to material life. So there's not much value to those dreams. They're sentimental and they're nice. So it's a very broad subject. There's not just one answer. Yeah, dreams are good. All dreams are good. All dreams are true. They're good. Fine. Thank you. Good night. It's like everything has to be couched and bound and move within the boundaries of common sense and morality, common sense, shastra vidhi, the order and rule of guru and sadhus and shastras. So anything out of the ordinary, anything extraordinary. For example, about 1977, 80, and then 2000. That was long ago. Almost 40 years ago. About 40 years ago, around 1980s or so, one very good disciple of Srila Prabhupada, good devotee, and good long track record of many good sevas for Prabhupada's pleasure, he was having repeated dreams of Srila Prabhupada. Very long, extensive dreams, and have long discussions. Then he would wake up and write down the diary. Those discussions are about how the movement should be run, many questions and discussions about guru and disciples, and how things should be done. And a lot of really interesting and believable and good things came out of there. So then, and these were circulated. In those days, there was no internet. It was only fax machines. And so he was typing them up and sending them by fax to different leaders and people reading. And then many leaders were meeting and thinking, well, maybe Prabhupada's really speaking to him in the dreams. And so they had to really consider and look closely at what was being experienced. But for the most part, 90% of what was going on there was not accepted, was rejected as not proper, not really the mood of Prabhupada, as all that, because he's only one disciple, seeing it like that and having dreams like that. And his dreams were such that Prabhupada is working through me as a medium, and he's giving instructions through me for the benefit of the whole society, so please listen to me. So they did, and the leaders did for some time, and examined many things and suggestions. For the most part, they rejected it all and disregarded it. So that's an example of a very good devotee having very wonderful experiences. So it's not always true. As my teacher said, sometimes. And what he said is Krishna Sandesh Drishti Me. Krishna Sandesh Drishti Swapna Me Satyam. So he specifically said, the Sanskrit verse, that's my teacher's explanation, a verse that he spoke. The Sanskrit verse in Upanishads, part 4, is a different shloka than that. It talks about you might receive mantra or medicine or see the fulfillment of your sankalpa, the goal of your mantra, and they may be true. But Gurudeva is saying, specifically if you see Krishna or Guru in a dream, it's true. That you really saw them. I really saw, it's true, yes, I saw Krishna. It's true, I saw Krishna, because he said it's satyam. yes, I saw Guru. I know what my Guru looks like, and I saw him. But then the next question is it true what he said? Is it true what he instructed? Or is it true what he was doing? Yes, I saw my Gurudev in a dream. And he was smoking chillum. Why was he smoking chillum? Because when I was a hippie, I used to smoke chillum. So then you dream. So I saw Gurudev in a dream. That's true. That's satyam. Guru is true. He represents the absolute truth. But what he was doing is not true. So there's a mixture here. That's why dreams are a projection. Prabhupada himself gave the example. A man is flying in the plane and he's reading the in-flight magazine. Because Prabhupada flew all around the place, you know. And in the in-flight magazine, there's a very interesting article about Fort Knox. Fort Knox is some place in America where they store all kinds of gold. It's a federal government reserve of gold or whatever they call it. It's a big fort. It's a big bricks of gold. And they're all stacked up to the ceiling. I don't know what they do with all this. It has some kind of gold bullion or whatever they call it. So he was seeing, they have pictures of it in shiny gold and like really amazing gold everywhere. And so he was reading this four-color picture, shiny in-flight magazine. And then they were flying from Delhi to Zurich, the airplane. So he looked out the window and there's so many mountains. Many, many, what's called the Swiss Alps, that you must be knowing. And then he fell asleep. And when he was sleeping, what do you think he dreamed of? He dreamed of a golden mountain. Because right before he fell asleep, he looked at the magazine, then he felt sleepy. He put it in a little pouch behind the seat in front of him. Then he leaned back, put his head against the window. He's looking out and seeing the mountains. And he's dreaming, oh, I'm climbing a mountain. And he was kind of a mountain climber, you know, he was from Germany. He was a trekker. So he's going back from India. He was trekking in India, Himalayas. So he's going back to Switzerland and then on to Germany. So he dreams of a golden mountain. So gold is true, the mountain is true, but he put them all together in his own way. And he's trekking, he's walking up that golden mountain because that's something he did. So dreams are a combination of many factors. What we perceive in our daily life, what we're carrying up from our last life. Sometimes we have very amazing mystical dreams, seemingly mystical. And the dreams also depend on the prakruti, the Vedic prakruti of the body. There's kapha, there's fatty people, kapha, and there's vata people, very skinny, and then there's pitta, fiery people. Hairy bodies and very big eyes and very fiery. Then there's everyone has a balance of vat, pitta, and kapha. Air, fire, and water. So more of one, then you exhibit more fat. More of the other one, the more skinny. Or some balance, not too fat, not too skinny. Like it's very hard to find the middle road guy, you know, or lady. That's called the average person. But some people are very fat or too, like this. So the people that are predominated by kapha, means fatty type people, they always have dreams involving earth and water. Because kapha, K-A-P-H, kapha is a combination of earth and water. So they're dreaming of going on boats, they're dreaming of walking on the land or walking in a field. Now if someone is predominated by pitta, fire, they always have dreams of fire. I was riding my car and it rolled over and it caught on fire. I was inside. I was in an apartment, it was on fire. I was running down the stairs, the fire was behind me. I was walking in a forest and the forest fire. They always have some dreams of fire. If someone has vat prakruti, then they'll have dreams of flying dreams. You type in on Google, flying dreams. So flying dreams, This is a symptom of vat person, and you're like that also. You're kind of more balanced. I'm totally vat. So I have so many flying dreams and flying in other universes and over vast mountain ranges and oceans and amazing those turns like a type of seagull, sea terns or osprey that fly from America to Canada, or no, from Europe to Canada, across the Atlantic Ocean. I can't, of course, they're all dying now because of microwave telephones, because they have a receptor inside their heart. Certain birds, insects, have a electromagnetic cells inside their brain by which they can navigate. So this, they're finding out this 3G, 4G, what to speak of, they're introducing 5G. It destroys that mechanism, so they die. So bees have that mechanism, electromagnetic sensors. Bees and bats and ospreys and different, not all birds, many, many birds and insects, they have these. So bees, they fly so far where they've come back to the nest. But they're dying all around the world, bees, because of microwave. It's just not so good. No bees, no flowers, no fruits. It's all in the Bhagavatam. In Kali Yuga, there'll be no fruits, there'll be no grains, or no sugar. It's all there in 12th Canto. And Vivasya Purana, all the Puranas, they talk about the future of Kali Yuga. Bhagavat Purana, every Purana has some chapter about the future. All the Puranas. So these birds are all dying. They can't navigate. Bats, you know, bats go at night. They just they're flying everywhere. They don't hit anything. You know, the bats come right by. You know, but they're all dying. You don't find any, hardly any, even in this village. So one by one, the scientists are creating things to eliminate all forms of life and finally self-destruct. I think every day there's some announcement on National Geographic TV or something like that. Every day in the world, 50 species of life are exterminated. 50 species, like so many types of insects don't exist anymore, so many fish, like vultures. All of India, vultures disappeared in my own lifetime. My own time in India, I mean, 32 years. Vulture is a huge bird, you know. The condor, big neck like that, and eat all the dead bodies and stuff like that. 9-foot wingspan means, you know, you go by meters, huh? Three meters wings. And if whenever someone's dying in a house, whenever someone's about to die or just dead, they're in the sky, circulating, going around the house, way up there. They can smell it or perceive it. Guys inside the house, they can't come and jump on them. But you see them over there. They don't exist. They disappeared all in India. Because they eat the buffaloes and different animals. And now they're giving all chemicals to the buffaloes and animals. Steroids and heavy chemicals for milk production, all kinds of things. And then So it's all in the buffalo's living, but it's concentrating all those poisons in its flesh, in its tissue. So then the innocent condor just eating, that's his duty to eat up the scraps, you know, like pigs and condors, you know, they clean up the place. So they're eating the bodies, and then they lay their eggs, and the eggs have no shell. Because it's those chemicals, those steroids and chemicals that they use in the animals that the vultures eat, they destroy the genetic pool. Actually destroyed the genetic pool of the condors, I mean, vultures. And so it affected the production of the eggshell. So they just lay a piece of jello, so no babies. They're all gone. You know that? Big problem. There's one religion in India called Parsis. And Parsis religion, the body doesn't mean anything. When you're dead, you're dead. They don't waste time with it. So in Hinduism, they burn the body. And other religions, they bury in the ground. And the Parsis, they just throw in a pit. They throw in some pit somewhere, some official place, and the vultures come and eat it up. Now there's no vultures. So they have to do cremation, I guess. Their whole religious system of antyeshti, it's called antyeshti, death ceremony has been destroyed because of the modern age. Crazy world. Madness.